Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie, and that over there is Ben, who you can also find on the Game Brain podcast and Real Housewives of Kitchen Island, or your most recent GQ magazine, where Ben is shirtless and a jock strap, convincing you to wear cologne.
Hello, it was in there, ten sprayed. Ten page spread about men who look like pudding. That was my big deal.
Oh my god, that's so hot. That should definitely be a niche, like a Pornhub niche, like guys that look like pudding. I mean, if guys that dress like, you know, teddy bears can get fucked,
pudding shaped men. I'm definitely pudding. I'm putting on the Ritz. I'm a little puddingy, and yeah, well, you know, we're gonna be recording a bonus episode later. I'm sure I will discuss the pudding like qualities of my.
If you want to hear us go crazy about how fat we are, just come over to our bonus episodes on Patreon. That's also where you will find our Crappens on Demand video recaps, which have been just great lately. They've been so much fun lately. So if you want to watch these, we do a couple of weeks. So go over to Crappens on Demand. Thank you. Love you. Okay, so today we have a huge day. I mean, I don't know how we're going to even cover this Below Deck reunion. It was just jam-packed. It wasn't. It's Below Deck. It's Below Deck. They're people in service. These are people who've learned to just take shit and say, sorry, you know, do you want a free tiramisu? Like, what do you want from me?
Yeah, this was what I would call a dull reunion. This was it was sort of like a throwback to the way Below Deck reunions used to be a few seasons ago. We've been lucky in that, you know, we had a really good Below Deck Med reunion, and last year's Below Deck reunion really got us angry. So we were like, you know, our blood was boiling, so we had a lot to talk about. But this one's more just like, how many different ways can I describe Elizabeth's makeup and dress? Like, that's kind of what I was doing the entire hour.
Yeah, I mean, it was that, but still, you know, it was still an episode of Below Deck, which was fun. And this was very polarizing because it was the millennial work ethic versus everybody else. You know, I've seen a lot of talk about that on Facebook. You know, Sashal Madia has been complaining a lot about millennial work ethic. Now, I think millennials are probably the smartest group of people to ever be born because they've got a fucking brain in their hands, you know, the iPhone or whatever. So I've always thought of them as very smart, but yeah, this is a very
kids and the work ethic. You know, back in my day.
I try to resist shaming millennials for their work ethic just because it's like the most cliche thing to do, to be part of like an older generation shitting on the younger generation. I mean, before millennials, it was Gen X. And now, well, you know, Gen Xers right now are like, their whole thing is that they're like, yeah, we're the best now because we're not like the boomers and we're not like the millennials. Yeah, we were the best all along. Like, Gen Xers are like taking a victory lap right now, which I think is hilarious. And you know what? Go for it.
I'm a Gen Xer. Yeah. But I do think it's funny. I do think the victory lap is hilarious because we were the generation that was like, you know, doing nothing. We were the slacker generation. You know? And now we're like, look at us. We'll win Survivor, you know? You want to give us some trouble? I can turn a radio into a ham. It's like, what? No, that's not who we are. We're like the laziest generation. It's always been that way. But now the millennials come, and now we feel like we're like total, you know, survivors.
Yeah, and I'm Gen Y. I'm in this weird generation that doesn't. I'm like the Chester P. Arthur of generations at the moment, just kind of like wedged in between more important generations. Like, you know, I'm one of those presidents from like the 1870s that everyone forgets about, you know, wedged somewhere between Lincoln and then Teddy Roosevelt in this era. That's just like blah. So I'm not a millennial. I'm not a millennial. Not yet Gen X. That was my version of Britney Spears. But the point is this. I'm not going to I try not to shit on millennials. But that being said, sometimes it's really hard not to. Sometimes they kind of make it really easy for us. I mean, It's a little tough. Sometimes you just...
Well, I'm not going to blame all millennials for these two boobs, you know? I mean, there is still an economy going, so I'm assuming that the millennials are doing something. But you wouldn't know it sometimes from watching these shows, you know? And I think Kate must be coming back because she posted something saying, like, picnic day, and it's in Alaska, which I think is where they're shooting now.
Really?
And so, yeah, and I'm just bringing Kate up because it, like, you need that on this show. You need someone from a different generation being like, seriously, it's an iron, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, you just need someone who's exasperated. I've always said intergenerational stuff makes for the best drama, which is why I get so mad at Big Brother, because their senior citizen of the house is always someone who's like 37 years old. And I'm like, do you not remember Big Brother 10 when they had two, they had Rennie, who was in her 60s, and Jerry, who was 75. Like, that is how you make good conflict on a TV show. You get some people from different generations and they just go off like crazy.
Yes.
And I think that would work for Below Deck as well. That's why we like Captain Lee, I think, actually, because he just sort of comes in. He's seen a lot of things. He's a salty sea dog, and he just is like, well, this is bullshit. You know, we like that. I think we like that element in our Below Deck shows.
Yeah. Well, here we are at the reunion. Welcome! I respect Below Deck so much, I'm wearing horizontal stripes. Okay? just wearing a regular, casual, horizontal stripe shirt. Hate you. Hate your show. Could be at home right now. Thanks.
Well, they face a looming pandemic, laundry room mustard gas, and a force named Dolores. But the crew on My Sienna has officially made it back on land. All right, let's breeze through this reunion and only touch on a few things. Okay, hi, everyone.
Hi, Captain Lee. Good evening. I've got bono-colored glasses on, in case anybody cares. Anybody have any questions?
If anyone's interested in my book, you can find it over my shoulder, dangling on the side of that couch about to fall over.
It really was, too. I loved that.
It was that
I want to show off the sailboats behind me, but also my book, and can't move the sailboat, so here the book goes on just right on the couch.
Hi, Francesca. Hi, Andy. I'm here in front of all of Australia's potted plants. They're all behind me right now. They all say hello. Hope you're doing well.
I love that Andy is shocked by literally everything, like every destination.
He's like, whoa, what time is it where you are, Francesca? Wow. James, what time is it where you are? Rachel, where are you? What time is it over there?
It's like, if he ever turns on like the world function on his iPhone, he's just going to have a stroke.
I think he's just been probably reading too many books to his kid in quarantine, where like every book is like, it's 6 a.m. in London. It's 7 a.m. in Germany. You know, it's just like, he's just like used to like simple concepts.
Yeah, but isn't he already, like, Andy is the perfect person to be, he's been reading us bedtime stories as long as we know, we just didn't realize it. It's like,
she's on your tooth and she got new boobs.
Yeah, that is one of the sharpest things you've ever said. He has been doing nursery rhymes to us.
Boom.
Very forced rhymes. So, well, she likes playing with loam because she's also in Rome. It's Rachel. So Rachel's in Italy. She's like, hey, I'm on quarantine. And he's like, well, you've been on quarantine every time we've checked in on you. She's like, well, no, that was lockdown, but now I'm on quarantine. And tomorrow I'm going on Cooter Patrol. So, you know, I'll keep you updated.
Hey, Elizabeth, did you consult your spiritual advisor before showing up as a bruise on national television?
Hey, Elizabeth, I just want to congratulate you for getting a starring role on Spider-Man on Ice. You look like Spider-Man as a figure skater.
She looks like a bruise that just came out of the closet.
She looks like an indicator. She looks like one of those things that tell you when your beer is skunked or not. Like, it changes color.
Bless her heart. I mean, what a miss. Wow. The whole thing, really. The whole look, like the eyelashes too much, the makeup too yellow, the hair too. I mean, I just feel bad for her because, I don't know, she like talks to crystals and stuff. And I just want that to work for people, you know, and it just doesn't.
It turns out crystals may give you a sense of positivity, but they don't necessarily give you an eye for fashion. You know, her makeup was so caked. She looked like she had done the Mrs. Doubtfire thing, you know, like put her face into the fridge and like put her face right like into like bit, but like a key lime pie or something.
Pie or whatever.
Yeah, it was like she had like key lime pie makeup.
And the overhead lighting, it's just, you know, it's just presentation, because obviously she's a beautiful girl, but then it's like, yes, the overhead lighting, like the canned lighting, like, you know what, you can talk to crystals as much as you want, but they don't turn into a ring light. Like, is there no Amazon where you live? Get on your phone and order a ring light.
She probably ordered a light ring by accident, like a push pop cam or something. She
I keep losing my ring, Andy, because it's just too light. I didn't want to get a wing because I didn't want people to think that I wanted a lot out of this relationship.
It's like, no, it's a ring light. But yeah, that top with its like, it had this, just the red that flowed into the blue. It truly, at first I thought she looked like Superman because it almost looked like the cape and the blue. And then I realized it was literally the colors of Spider-Man it literally turns into blue where it turns into blue on Spider-Man. She's Spider-Man. She's like, know, a very ineffective Spider-Man.
She just makes it really hard to root for her, you know? It's like, I couldn't be the only person that sat there just wishing that Tonya Harding would come in.
But her hair looked nice.
Wow, we just really went in on poor Elizabeth. Okay, so James, where are you, James? What time is it over there? he's like, I'm in Blackpool. You know, people might be surprised that I'm not in my parents' basement. I'm in my parents' living room, Andy. Yes. Thank you very much.
And clearly, his mom walked in at that moment. I don't know if you noticed it, because he like looks up and over the cam and sort of like shakes his head, like, "Yeah, mom, I'm on TV right now, mom. You don't have to do, mom. No, I don't want the pudding right now, mom. Stop it."
Yeah, and he's got new eyebrows, and now he's like separated his eyelashes. That's his new thing, where he's doing that eyelash separation, whatever. It's like, wow, there's your arc. Finally, we have an arc for James.
By the way, I loved his living room, or his parents' living room. I thought it was so spacious and comfy, and it had like, I was sort of like looking out the window. I couldn't tell, was it sort of like cold raining outside? I was kind of like, why did he ever leave? Why would he ever go to a yacht? Like, that living room seems to have everything. And there was a cute dog in the background that was totally doing the Bueller. I was sort of taken by his background.
Frenchie. Yeah. And Izzy, how are you doing? She's like, I'm bloody fantastic in Christchurch, New Zealand, Andy.
Wow! New Zealand? I can't believe you're in New Zealand, even though you're from New Zealand. Wow!
This is the first time someone's ever done a reunion from a church, Izzy.
Hey, Ashling, is your stomach finally feeling better? I see you're sitting there in front of some faux weathered furniture. How rustic of you. How's it going? Okay, moving on. Hi. Oh, okay.
You really see so much about people with their decor. Like, Ashling, I realized, thinks like she's a Bachelor contestant, because on The Bachelor, they always have those weird Pier 1 candle things like she had behind her head that was like made out of sticks. And she was using a K at the end of her ings this episode. She was like, I'm feeling better, Andy, which is very Bachelor to add a K.
All right, now let's go to San Diego and see Sustainable Shane. Hey, Shane. Hey, stupid face. How's it going?
Oh, poor Shane. I mean, this is another one. You just like, he seems so nice. You want him to do well, but then you realize he's really just a prick who hides behind saying nice things in order to be a prick. Like, he'll say, you know, he won't just call you a dirty fucking loser asshole. He'll say, you just need to clean the earth better. That's his way of saying it. And yeah. I can't with his yellow collarless lip. Get out. He needs to get the hell out of here.
He has a real attitude. And you know what? If he's trying to like, trying to spread the word about sustainability, then you should do it in a friendly manner, because no one's going to want to listen to you if you're being a dick and being sullen, because he's, you know, he's doing this whole thing of like, oh, this show just made me into a clown. It's like, you made yourself into a clown. You took a nap in the middle of the day. Okay. You left the yacht garage door open and you did, who knows what else you did, but you just did all the wrong things. So don't have an attitude with us when you are the one at fault. Be a cheery environmentalist, damn it.
Yeah, calm down on the sanctimony, buddy.
Yeah.
So where's Rob? He's digging for gold. And Izzy's like, well, that's not surprising. He didn't seem like he wanted to even be on the show. Oh, he was rude to production. And then when cameras were there, he wouldn't even talk to them. He's weak, Andy. What a weak person.
Yeah, he's just an asshole. Yeah, Izzy was like ready to say all the things that she didn't get to say. So, hey, when green deckhand Shane joined the crew, his uber-cool demeanor set off alarm bells with Eddie. But we soon learned he may have had trouble setting an alarm. See, I said alarm bells and then alarms. See what I did there? He can't set an alarm. He's a stupid, stupid face. Oh, hey, how many straws does it take to make an alarm, huh?
So Andy's like, so you seem to regret nothing because you were able to raise awareness about the environment, Jane. Do you think you could have tried harder at your job? And he's like, you know what, Andy? Like, I like gave it my all. So, you know, that's what I got to say about that. And Andy goes, did you? Did you give it your all?
He's like, yeah, I did. I came in very underprepared. I didn't realize the yachting career entailed so much hard work as it did. And Andy, who is still probably very pissed about Shane's standoffish and asshole-ish appearance on Watch What Happens Live. So Andy's like, has a grudge. He's like, so did you Google it before you went on the boat, dum-dum? Did you do that? Oh. And he's like,
No, but I took maritime training, Andy. Okay.
All right. Hey, Sammy F. says, watching the show back, how did you feel about Eddie saying you can't fix stupid? I mean, I like Eddie, but felt that was a little harsh, huh? That was Sammy F. saying it. I personally thought it was right on the mark. Am I right, everyone? Can't fix stupid. That one right over there.
Ah. If this show is literally going to be asking me questions about roasting me, I'm literally going to walk off, literally. Okay? Shane, shut up, you idiot. I'm sorry we haven't asked about recycling. Hey, Shane, what do you feel about those plastic rings that hold Diet Cokes together? What do you think of those? Are those bad, Shane? What do you think about petroleum, Shane?
I just like that a question that was defending him, basically saying, you know, I thought it was harsh to say he was stupid. He then stupidly is like, if you're going to make fun of me, I'm going to log off. It's like, it was in defense of you. You are actually disproving this question's point.
Yeah. And Andy's like, dude, we were just asking you about your time on the show. And Rachel goes, yeah, I mean, I said, fuck you, eat my cumin.
Yeah, they all give him this pep talk. Man. Yeah, you know, I dealt with a human mop all season long. You know, we all make mistakes.
Hey, he's like, okay. Yeah. That comment was unnecessary. Like, Eddie, I mean, you don't actually think I'm stupid, right? And Eddie's just like taking a super long drink. He's like,
what should I say to this stupid person? Okay. No, I don't think you're stupid. You're a smart kid. And you totally believe that because you're pretty stupid, right? Oh, but you're a smart kid. And there's a difference between smarts, that what you know, which doesn't appear to be very much, and smarts coming into the yachting industry. You were brand new, and unfortunately, it was difficult for you to grasp right away. Right, Dad?
Huh? Shane's like, well, I accept that. I don't have any hard feelings. I don't hold a grudge with anyone but petroleum.
Yeah, because Andy... Oh, well, sorry. Was there anything that Andy asked James, like, is there anything that James and Eddie could have done to help him out? And James is like, well, you know, first of all, I have to say, I've never watched any of these reunion shows before. This is bloody brilliant, okay? It's like a roast at Below Deck. I love this. It's like, I want to go on holiday and have a reunion afterwards all the time. I mean, this is the best holiday ever. James, you were working. This wasn't a holiday for you.
Yeah, and James is so one of those Real Housewives who pretends they've never seen the Real Housewives when they come on. Give me a break. You've separated your eyelashes. You knew where you were coming today, okay? Yeah. And that tight-ass Old Navy shirt is your reunion dress. Don't think we don't know that you sat in front of a skinny mirror in your mom's basement trying to make that shit work all night long.
Yeah, also, lesson to be learned, don't wear shirts that are going to exaggerate your pit stains. So Andy says, well, yeah. James says that he did try to warn Shane that he'd get into trouble, but we didn't really see it that, we didn't really see that much of an effort to stop him. So Andy then finally asks a question that I feel like a lot of us thought, where he says, you know, a lot of people pointed out that Shane, you went on a boat to raise awareness about sustainability and environmentalism, but there is no greater gas guzzler and foe of the environment than a super yacht. What do you make of that oxymoron?
Well, like, Why did you call me a moron? If this show is going to be about like roasting morons, I'm not into it. I'll like totally moron off, right?
If this show is going to be about roasting Oxy, my favorite cleaning product, then I'm going to log off and clean something with it and be one with it, okay?
Oh my God, roasting Oxy. Finally, someone else has done that.
You know what? I tried to clean my clothes with Oxy and I got all crazy looking and then I tasted it and fell asleep.
It's like, you were using OxyContin, not OxyClean, you idiot.
Well, I realized that like the boat isn't like sustainable before I went on it because like it guzzles gas and then it like goes into like protected areas. But like you can make it more sustainable. And so that's what I did.
And Izzy's like, yeah, I actually did learn a lot from him. For instance, some guest brought some seashells up, and he was like, no, those are from a protected territory. So look, we saved some clams. It's like, I'm glad that you did not take the thing from the protected territory, much like I'm sure Chef Adrian did a few seasons ago when he pulled up that enormous like sea slug. But I don't think that really like offsets the amount of damage that yachts probably do to these beautiful ecosystems.
Yeah, because you left some discarded clam shells or whatever behind. Give me a
return
break.
The conch. You returned Sebastian to the ocean.
So Andy's like, Shane, any last words before we let you go back to being stupid? You stupid face, stupid, look like Spicoli in a Ross Dress for Less cult leader outfit. Anything to say? And he's like, sustainable, brah.
All right, sustainable. Sweet. Paper straws forever. See you on Sean Cody. We're going to part ways here now.
He's so basic. I cannot handle people whose whole life is fighting. It's like their whole personality is built around something so obvious. You know, it's like we all know pollution is bad. Okay. I'm not saying it's not. It's like being like, you know what my personality is, Andy? I hate murder. I hate it. There, I'm doing everything I can to stand against murder. Like, yeah. Yeah, okay, you're a really good person, Ronnie. Okay, here's a lollipop.
Listen, I actually am totally down for someone who's like, my whole thing is the environment, because honestly, the environment is really fucked right now. So I do applaud that, but well, what I don't applaud is like, I don't even want to say that his environmentalism is very token, but it's whatever the word would be, because he does seem like he really believes. But where it's kind of like, it felt performative. It just felt like he was just like, but it's like, do your job too. Like, you will be more effective if you do your job and then you don't have like a chip on your shoulder about this. Like, you have a chip on a shoulder about something that you caused. Like, you were at fault here and everyone recognizes you were at fault. Everyone can see you're at fault and you're blaming everyone else. And guess what? That's actually getting in the way of your environmentalist message and it's actually making people mock it. And so you're actually being a worse environmentalist by being a bad employee.
I mean, yes. It's like when we're talking about other shows and I get mad when people start using their victimhood to explain away whatever is going on, right? It's like you were really horrible to that person. Yeah, but you know what? My father died a couple years ago and that just makes me crazy. And I think in this instance, it's him using this performative shit instead of just admitting anything he did wrong. It's like, oh, you were a shitty employee, but I was only there to really raise awareness for the planet, brah. It's like, shut up. No, you know what? Stop using that as a crutch. Okay?
You can't raise awareness if you're napping during the day. How about that? You know, I just think that there was, I agree. There was something, it's weird. I don't even want to say it was his environmentalism was performative, but I think it's more like you said, a crutch. Like he just sort of, he used that to as a shield against any critiques. You know, it's kind of like when a thought on Instagram posts like a mostly naked picture up, like a really thirsty picture up there. But then the caption is something like, we all have to be good humans and we all have to support people because at the end of the day, we're just this flesh and blood. So be kind to one another. So then if you say, you're really thirsty, like, see, this is what I'm talking about. You're not being kind to one another. It's like, oh, you immunized yourself under this guise of this caption, which is very like the caption. I don't disagree with the caption. I don't disagree with environmentalism, but you're using it as a shield for your wrongdoings.
Yeah, you're just using it as an excuse to post your dick outline.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, not wrongdoings, but of
because Shane didn't really do anything like horrible or bad. Like, I can't even believe we're discussing it this long because he was fine. It's just annoying. That type of personality makes me fucking crazy. It's like, wow, you're so much better than everybody else because you think pollution is bad. Like, we know, dude, we fucking know. Mm-hmm. Like, I agree with you, so I'm not going to go to work today. You know.
By the way, off topic, one thing that we did not discuss was that the way that the episode began entirely, we didn't discuss this. We see them all setting up their Zooms, and guess who like knocks over her laptop? And you just see like her ceiling.
Oops, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's like, of course, Elizabeth knocks over her laptop while she's setting up for the reunion.
So Andy sends Shane off by going, paper straws forever, brah. And Shane's just giving the peace sign.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then Eddie, we come back from commercial and Eddie's fixing his plant. And Izzy's like, Eddie, are you trimming your bush? Nailed it. Nailed that one. Nailed that one.
So Rachel got rave reviews for her food, but it wasn't until partway through the season when she showed a special talent disappearing. And so then we see the montage, which I was sad. I was hoping to see titties. Didn't make it in.
Yeah, I was surprised they left that out. That was the best part of the whole season. And also all the pooping. You know, this show loves pooping. So I guess the Watch What Happens people are different from the show producer people, because the show producer people definitely would have been like, let's make sure we have half an hour of shitting down legs. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't get anything about Dolores. We didn't get anything about that. We didn't get anything about really any of the guests at all. I would like to have heard like about Charlie being an asshole, the first charter. I would have liked those adorable gays who caused Rachel to nearly quit, but then it turns out they were like wonderful. We didn't hear about them. They're just like, there's a lot I felt was omitted from this reunion.
So Andy asked Captain Lee and Eddie, what are your thoughts when Rachel said, fuck you and eat my cooler? And the captain was like, well, I was astonished, actually. I wasn't quite sure she meant it. You know, she was running against the tide, if you will. And Eddie's like, I was like, oh, holy shit. Hold on to your freaking horses. This is a bumpy road. Did I do it right, Dad? Nice try, kid. All right. I would try something like, you better grab a horse by the mane before this road turns your nuts into pop rocks and soda can, you know, something like that, a little more colorful. Thanks, Dad.
Eddie felt that you had no respect for your coworkers, Rachel, because you were screwing them by leaving. What do you think about that? And she's like, well, it's not against the crew members. When you just like read something like that, it's just ridiculous. Like, you're just set up for failure. I mean, like, at that time I was thinking, like, what's more important, you know, going back to where you live, that's, you know, and because you might not be able to get back there because you're all getting shut down because of coronavirus, or stick around and watch yourself, you know, have your ass handed to you in front of the world. And I'm like, you signed up for Below Deck and you've already had your ass handed to you. We remember the omelets from episode one. It's too, just at this point, lean into it.
Yeah, and he's like, so you didn't screw people over by leaving? She's like, well, at the time I didn't think that, Andy, but I thought, you know, the next day, maybe I should go back. Titties! And Andy says, so, Eddie, why are you so skeptical of Rachel? And he's like, well, you know, it's just how she talked to Captain Lee and didn't apologize to us. But, you know, she did redeem herself. She's probably the best chef I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah. And then what about that communication issues you were having with the interior team? Who is more to blame, Francesca or her team? And by team, I mean Elizabeth, who just knocked over the torchier lamp behind her. Who's more to blame? And Rachel's like, well, it's everything. I mean, you know, there's so much that goes into it, and there's so many distractions. I mean, like, you know, seeing that you understand that there's so much going on, and you forget things, it's hard to hear things, and, you know, in summary, cooter titties.
Yeah. Rachel does this thing where she changes her personalities, you know, and maybe she should have been drinking during this. I don't know, but she gets really mad where it's like, it could have been a good reunion, but then she comes in and she's like, well, you know, nothing's bad because in retrospect, I realized, you know, I had a more nuanced opinion. It's like, this is not the time for nuance. Okay.
Yeah.
Throw that away and come yell at people and tell Francesca she's terrible at her job. Okay. This is television, ma'am.
And Andy is trying to make it happen. He's like, so why did Francesca's team have a hard time working with Rachel? And Francesca's like, well, I don't think that we had a hard time working with Rachel. I mean, maybe as hard as one could if you've been poisoned by mustard gas, but I think that sometimes I was tipping on eggshells. But that was literally just because Elizabeth dropped a lot of eggs on the floor all the time. And so the communication was slow, but we ironed it out quickly and we sat down and we briefed each other on the charters and everything was wonderful.
You know, the communication was slow, Andy, but after Rachel threw some eggs at my head and I stepped on those eggshells, we ironed it out. Of course, Elizabeth had to learn how to turn on the iron first, but eventually everything was good. And he's like,
"You know, it took us a while to iron it out."
Yeah, we had to iron it.
Turns out that every time we tried to iron it out, the ironing board would actually fall down. So it took us a few weeks before we realized what the problem was with our ironing out with Rachel. But now we got it all sorted out.
Rachel, do you agree with her niceness? Because this is getting old. She's like, "Well, yeah, it was good to sit down, Andy, you know, because we all share excitement about working. Would you like a free tiramisu, Francesca? Please take my apologies." And Andy's like, "I think I was watching a different show than you guys were on or something. Can I go?"
He actually was like literally watching Roni reunions or reruns. So Rachel's like, "Andy, don't make me come into that box. Andy, don't make me, you know, have you ever had fart in a box? That's what's going to happen. I'm coming into your box, Andy."
So then why didn't anybody confront Rachel on her ridiculous drunken behavior?
Because we were scared of her, Andy. That's why. And Elizabeth's like, "Yeah, you know what? You should just let her have her fun."
And Elizabeth kept doing this thing where she would put one shoulder forward and then her head kind of over her shoulder and just nod her head with her lip pouted. Did you notice that? And then she kept looking at herself in the computer screen to like see how cute she looked. Oh,
so annoying. So yeah, Rachel's like, "You know what? I'm just a little hard to handle. I'm a wild stallion and I'm unbridled, you know?" And Andy's like, "Well, Eddie was annoyed, right, Eddie? Because is anyone going to fight here? How do we do this, Eddie?" And he's like, "Yo, you know, everyone could blow off steam. And it frustrates me because when someone else is blowing off steam, that affects everyone else's ability to do the same, you know?"
And Elizabeth's like,
shoulder pulls. Should I have said something? Yes, but, you know, I was afraid to set her off." And then he's like, "Well, I hold Eddie's opinion in really high regard. So, you know, I was disappointed he didn't see it to my fucking face."
And Andy says, "Well, how do you feel about seeing Captain Lee get emotional and compare your, you know, kind of teetering on alcoholism with his son's issues?" And she's like,
"That had a big impact, Andy. Okay, I hold him in very high regard as well. So to mention concern for me, it made an impact, Andy. I had 5 martinis when I heard that. Thanks, Captain."
And I was so impacted that instead of singing my favorite song, Titties, I sang a new version that went, Titties. It was very sad and impacted.
It was the ballad version, Andy.
It was impacted. All right, let's move on to Liz and James. So, hey, James. You really pluck your eyebrows to beat hell, don't you, huh?
James's eyebrows, wow. Yeah. He's like, "You know, I didn't realize until I saw them on television how bad they were, Andy. I had to go to someone and get them sorted." He's like, "Well, they look on point today." Yeah. Izzy goes, "Oh, yeah, he would fill them in with my eyelash pencil, Andy. All right, that's what he did. He'd use my eyebrow pencil to do it."
"Why are we saying that I'm like the only one who does their eyebrows? Many men do." "Mom, not now. Not now. I don't want to tell you now, Mom. Please. No, I don't need the tweezers. It's not eyebrow time. Okay, Mom, I'm on TV right now. Thank you,
and
Mom."
And Andy says, "None of us here do that." He's like, and Captain goes, "I don't recall getting my eyebrows filled." He goes, "Well, maybe you need to." Like, ooh, some eyebrow shade to the Captain. Are there no lines here?
That might be the problem. So, so what got under Rachel's skin about James? And she's like, his jokes, his demeanor. He just didn't seem to have virtuous intentions. And in summary, titties.
So looking back, James, did you mislead Elizabeth? Could you have handled it differently? And he's like, "Well, I wouldn't say I misled her, but I thought we were on the same page. But then when we spoke off camera, you know, like we had it in our mind where it was going. You know, we're in 2 different countries. We knew where it was going, Andy. But she did start to like me a bit more than, you know, that was my bad. I should have spoken up." And Rachel's just making this face like, okay, we're just going to let him get away with this because this is obvious bullshit.
Well, it's not that I misled her. It's more like I just shone a flashlight, or a torch, as we say in England. I shone it on the floor, and then she just sort of chased after it all season long. So it's not really misleading. It's more like gentle play.
Those little laser pens.
She just tried to keep capturing it with her little paws, and she just didn't realize it was a two-dimensional projection of light.
Elizabeth and James, how did you think it was okay to hook up in the guest cabin and then not take responsibility for your poor work ethic you both showed? And she's like, well, all right, James, go get creative then.
He's like, it was dead simple, Andy. I knew it shouldn't have been done, and we were messaging each other, and she said that we should go into a guest cabin.
Oh my God.
So I shone the flashlight into the guest cabin. She went running right in there, and I said, we shouldn't do this. But then I was worried she might get a furball, so I went in there to help her, and one thing led to another.
You know, it was actually pretty sad at first, Andy, because she ran into the room and then started banging her head against the wall, and then I realized I hadn't turned off the laser pen.
And then Izzy's like, James is a dilly gaff. Do I look like I give a fuck? Thank you.
Nailed that one as well.
Well, we were off charter. We were drinking. Did you invite him or did he invite you? Because I'm pretty sure that he invited me, Andy. Let me ask my shoulder what it has to say. Shoulder, shoulder. Boop, boop, boop.
Hello,
boop.
Australian in front of weathered furniture would like to say something. Either way, I have to say, it takes two to tango, and at the end of the day, you both made the decisions to go into the guest cabin, which is the ultimate no-no on a super yacht. Bad work ethic. Thank you very much. I'm Aisling.
And James is like, well, I knew we'd get in trouble, but it was risk versus reward, Andy. And he's like, well, was it worth it? And he's like, 100%. All right, good bank, good night's sleep. Right,
but you didn't have your mother there, did ya? To give you an aspect fee.
Get out, mother.
Get out, mother. I'm filming a reunion. What is that? It's a thing that they do in America, mother. Get out.
Okay. You're doing great, James.
So then.
You're doing great, Carly.
Oh God, now I've even got someone else's mother here.
Someone's mother came in here.
I'm actually your mother. Oh, you're a mother. Yes, I am. This is my son, and your son is actually Carly. Yeah, we had a switch at birthday. It's hilarious.
So
it's very casual, you know, sorting out of a switched up birth story.
Izzy's like, whatever, James, you know. And Andy says, well, Elizabeth could have gotten fired.
And she's like, definitely. And James is like, well, you know what, Andy? It was an accumulation of things that went on with us. It was an accumulation of things. And Francesca's like, it doesn't matter. Oh, so they're saying, does he feel bad because this was the reason that she got fired?
Yeah.
Right.
And then Izzy's basically saying, you know, James didn't get fired. He got a light talking to. And Andy's like, well, that seems like a double standard, but I won't press Eddie for why he maintained a double standard. Anyway, Izzy, what's going on with you?
And well, then actually, on that, you know, it is a double standard that, like, this whole thing is like, oh, Elizabeth slept in the guest cabin. And then meanwhile, the dude who initiated the whole thing gets nothing. So, yeah, I do see that that's a double standard. But it's also that James just said, yeah, I did it. So. Sorry. And like, let it get over where Elizabeth is like,
no, I didn't. Well, we weren't sleeping. Well, but I did.
And she also has a terrible track record on the boat, too. I mean, James is not an amazing track record, but he hadn't really done anything that was like blatantly bad. But whereas Elizabeth had messed up every single episode. So Elizabeth is like,
you know, I would have gotten fired even if I had asked for permission.
So was she disappointed that James seemed relieved by her firing? And she's like,
yes, watching it back, you said so many shit things. Like, looking back, it's like, really, James? I mean, I didn't realize how disinterested you were in me. I mean, whatever. I don't care. It's funny. I don't care. Just, you know, it's funny because you can see I'm laughing a lot right now. I'm really laughing a lot. It's funny.
I like that.
She hit her head in the back wall. Sorry, Andy. Couldn't resist the laser.
I shot a laser through the zoom.
Elizabeth just starts banging her head on the screen.
Ow!
Oh no, my computer. Oh no, I must have spilled water on it. It's all water and fishes.
That's a screensaver. Move your mouse. The fish tank will go away.
I'm drowning!
Oh my god! They're coming to kill us! The toasters, they've finally risen up. They're flying at us.
That's your screensaver again.
Poor screen always needs saving, Andy.
So Andy's like, is there anything you should have done differently in the relationship, James? And he's like, still using that word relationship. All right, listen, maybe I should have had a discussion with her. You know, usually how these things work is I bang a girl, then she gets too into me. And so I usually just ease a bit and then they fade out. And the captain is cracking up, you know, he's just laughing at this. And Izzy goes, that's called ghosting, James. And he says, you can't ghost people on a boat.
Unless you're actually watching that horror movie Ghost Ship, which no one watched. So Captain Lee is by the way, you could totally ghost people on a ship. It's called the Titanic, okay? No, I wasn't making a dark joke like that. I just meant like because it was like really big and like they could laugh at each other. But I realize there's another meaning. There's another meaning that I realized as soon as I said it. I apologize to all the
Titanic survivors out there.
I apologize to not only the Titanic survivors, but also Lusitania survivors. So Captain Lee is like, he's like, well, here's my bombshell revelation. If this had happened on land, I think it would have been a one-night stand. How about that? How about that for a revelation? Find more revelations in my book, Running Against the Tide, which is about to fall off the couch, but I refuse to fix it.
Well, it seems like you know me well. And Andy's like, oh, boy. So, you know what, James? Are you enjoying this as much as you were a few minutes ago? He's like, oh, love it, Andy. You know what? Eyelashes don't just happen, Andy. You know, and right now they're getting their chance to do a dress rehearsal, Andy. All right. So we're glad for the experience. My eyelashes and I are both excited for this experience. Thank you.
All right, let's talk about Izzy. Do you think, Izzy, that Rob's really digging for gold right now, or is he just unwilling to confront the situation? And she's like, well, I definitely think that he's digging for gold, but he did some of your after shows and tune in, so I think that, like, he just doesn't want to confront the situation. He's a bit of a coward, if you ask me.
How does he feel about season now that he's watched it? She's like, oh, he doesn't watch the season. Rachel's, actually, I talk to him every day, and he actually does have a legitimate Wi-Fi issue, so he's not watching it.
Rob is so the person to be like, yeah, it's on this TV show, but like, I just like don't watch it because I'm just like, not about that. I'm not about reality TV. I'm more about looking for gold in the middle of the ocean, you know? So, you know, I was talking to my dog, Pita Falafel Hamburger Face, and I was like, bro, it's just the two of us against the world, digging for gold and not caring about reality TV that I was on.
Yeah, and then the dog said, if I don't get to watch this show, I'm going to bite off the face of a baby on a farm. And I said, go for it, bro. See you when you get home.
Yeah, so basically I'm just working on building that longest road. Get to 10 points on Catan. So why didn't Izzy apply directly to be like a deckhand instead of basically he's asking her why she applied for the interior. And Izzy actually says that because she was assaulted and, you know, experiences she had on other boats, she just didn't want to work with a bunch of men anymore, which I think makes a lot of sense. Like, I wouldn't want to work with us because I feel like we're kind of terrible sometimes. So, but then, hey, did James and Rob hook up? It's like, what? Hey, it was a joke question. Let me rephrase that. Did James and Rob hook up? Because I've been fantasizing about that for a few weeks now.
Well, if they did, I would ship it, Andy. I would ship them because they're both very good looking, right? And then he goes, yeah, they're both really good at docking. All right, that was a good one. Thanks, Dad.
So why'd you promote Izzy instead of Rob or James? I mean, and what did you think about Rob's comments about, like, lead chammy? And Eddie's like, well, she really put a lot of effort forward, and she wanted that job. She tried hard, and James and Rob worked hard, but they didn't seem to want that extra responsibility, and I'm just not going to respond to that thing about chammy because they're guys, so I'm not going to make fun of them or bring them down.
Yeah, you know, I think she should have been a little bit more like a duck and let things slide off her back a little bit.
She's like, well, I agree that I should have let stuff slide, you know, because I've learned that it says more about the person who's acting like an ass than it does you. And Andy's like, all right, well, is Izzy the MVP? Mark from Masterson wants to know. And everyone agrees that she was. And James is like, you know, I think Eddie was right. Rob and I didn't want extra responsibility, and she stepped up, so good for her. Yay, lead Shammy. You go, girl.
Didn't Eddie directly contradict himself? Didn't he in the season say, this is what you have to do. You got to say to them, look, I'm the boss, and you just have to deal with what I have to say. And now he's like, she should have been more quiet. She should have just let it slide off her back.
Well, I think now that he's seen it, you know, now that they've seen the whole season and how it all played out.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the answer is. At this point, I'm like, I'm tired. So Andy's like, since you and Rob admitted to a weak work ethic, James, you know, why give Izzy a hard time? He's like, well, we didn't give her a hard time. You know, the way that Rob speaks to people, you know, sometimes people take that the wrong way. Like, yeah, because he's speaking like a dick to people.
Yeah.
Like, how are you supposed to take that the right way?
If you're talking to your boss and your boss is taking what you have to say the wrong way, it's on you to fix how you talk. It's not on the boss to try to understand how you talk. Okay, that's called being an employee. That's you have to change your voice for the boss. That's why they're called the boss.
Yeah. So Izzy's like, well, Rob's comments like that, like, why are your hands on your hips? You know, it didn't sound like banter to me. And Francesca's like, well, I think he was trying to provoke you. Don't really care. Just wanted to remind people that I am actually on this reunion. All right? I'm here.
All right. Let's move on to the Elizabeth segment, because I don't think anyone actually really cares about Izzy and Rob. But we just had to sort of wedge it in there. Okay. So let's talk about this. Elizabeth. Okay. Elizabeth wasn't the best second stew, but why was Francesca so hard on her? It's not like she made mustard gas and ignored the guests or slept in a guest room, right? Oh, wait, this just in. Oh, apparently Elizabeth made mustard gas, ignored guests, and slept in the guest rooms. All right.
I mean, I don't know. I don't watch this show. Sounds fun.
I thought it was so funny that after the segment about James screwing over Elizabeth, they had a commercial that was like, now, please don't take this if you have bacterial vaginosis. It's like, oh, my God. It's like, you can't escape. You can't escape the Bravo commercials. You know, they always roast you every time.
Yeah, you really can't. So, yeah, so like, it seems like Francesca picked on Elizabeth when Francesca herself wasn't even the best chief stew. And Francesca's like, I don't think I was hard on Elizabeth. I never said anything rude to her. I mean, listen to my words. They're not mean. They're just directional. Like, could you do this, you stupid fart face? That is directional and descriptive.
Well, I'm going to let my shoulder answer, and my shoulder says, Andy. And I agree that her words weren't mean, but there were tones, and there was some condescending.
And then she pouts and nods her head. And so now her tactic is, it's like her big moment, so she's going to be like, I'm the bigger one in this situation, so I'm not going to fight. I'm just going to pout a lot, and I'm going to tilt my head like a dog that hears, you know, someone approaching a door. You know, yeah. Like, huh?
Well, you know, there wasn't a lot of positivity. Maybe I should have given you more praise, like, congratulations, you made mustard gas. That's so cool. That's so cool that you're able to do that.
I did say on a couple of occasions, well done. It's just that you went in the room and I was saying that to Aisling. But, you know, I'm not sure what you want from me. And Aisling's like, well, we worked well as a team and the work ethic got in our way. All right, Elizabeth? Because you said you've done 5 years of yachting. Is that correct, Elizabeth? Is that correct? She's like, well, yeah, 4.5 on and off.
Mostly off. Basically, I drew a picture of a yacht 5 years ago, and then I thought about a yacht 4 years later.
Well, that's the problem. It's not consistent. You know, you go on one boat, then you go off. You don't do it for a while. I mean, listen, you just never learn the proper procedures, like not murdering people on accident.
You know, maybe if you'd been on a boat for 5 years straight, you would have learned that in order to check in on a guest, you have to actually walk physically to them and ask them, is there anything I can get you? I don't know. That's just something that comes with 5 years of boating experience, or, I don't know, common sense. One of the other.
Whoa. That was a big word dump. Whoa. Francesca, you just really dumped some words there.
She answered in one sentence. Why are you acting like? I guess he was told at the beginning, like, people don't like Francesca or something. So he's trying to come harder for her. Because it's like, now stop gaslighting her. She did not just say too much. And Elizabeth's like, okay, well, I hear you. You know, like, I'm human. I make mistakes. I'm not perfect. And I'm sorry for that. Oh, yeah. That's the problem. That's the thing. You're not perfect.
I think you two were bullies in the end. And this isn't me being sensitive. I get this is yachting. But I think that, like, a lot more things could have been said to my face, especially you, Aisling.
And Aisling's like, so you would rather me be nasty towards you than try to create a great work environment, which we all have to admit, I made an amazing work environment. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I would like you to tell me that you're unhappy with me.
You know what? Listen, there's a lot of bullying situations, you know, and I haven't named as bullying. Like, you know, you talking behind people's backs about me. But Aisling calling someone like, but what'd she say? But Aisling calling someone a lost cause.
She called me a lost cause. That's offensive.
And then we see the Watch What Happens Live with Aisling and Elizabeth, which was one of the more awkward episodes of that show, for sure.
Yeah, and we see this flashback where it's a game where they say, fire too soon or lost cause. And Elizabeth and Aisling's like, I would have to say lost cause. And I think this happened with Leva on Southern Charm too, where they basically like, these are your two options. And then so she's like, she chose an option. They're like, how could she? Leva said it about Shep, I think also lost cause or something. And it's like, how could you say that? It's like, she's like, I was playing the game. I just chose that. I don't think you were fired too soon. And I think I chose column B, you know?
Yeah. I know that's unfair. They set them up on Watch What Happens Live, then use it against them at the reunion. So funny.
And then, yeah. And then Francesca's like, if it's any consolation, Elizabeth, I don't think you're a lost cause. I think you're a sad cause. Sorry, just being directional. Just directional.
And you know what? Bullying is a very strong word, all right? You know, I was not bullying whatsoever. You have Izzy calling me extra. You know, you've got Rachel saying stuff behind my back. You've got all the girls talking behind my back. What was that then? And Izzy's like, well, I don't think it was bullying, but maybe people expressing themselves and not thinking of feelings about other people. I'm like, yeah, when you were calling her the C word at the top of your lungs. <He's> expressing.
She could hear you. Yeah.
And
okay.
Rachel's like, okay. It all boils down to delivery and dynamics. Okay. Don't know really what that means. So I guess I'll just say cooter. I don't know.
Yeah, there were times I felt backed into a corner too, okay?
And Francesca's like, you know what? No one's perfect. I get it. You have a different language than other people, Rachel. Yours is more colorful, and mine is more educated, like the way she's saying it. Because they're all just saying like, oh, yeah, everybody called Francesca a cut fitness behind her back, but that was totally fine because it was Francesca. But Elizabeth's right. A victim, you know? And it is kind of bullshit.
So now after Elizabeth says that she wants Aisling to be honest with her, she's like, you know what? You're just not caught out for yachting, Elizabeth, just being open and honest. And she goes,
I hear what you're saying. I guess I can't really speak, though. Okay, I guess you'll just talk over me.
She's like now upset that Aisling said she was not cut out for it. It's like, this is why Aisling wasn't honest with you, because you'd get into your feelings and it was more important for you to just to be doing your, like at least be doing. There's just one less thing that they needed to deal with was Elizabeth and her feelings.
And again, nobody was talking over you. So, and Elizabeth is like,
yeah, well, I have captains and chiefs from my past that would differ from your opinions. Captain Crunch loved me.
I was just about to make that joke.
Captain Karunka?
You mean Captain Crunch?
Yes.
Everyone is different and everyone is allowed to have their opinion, all right?
Okay, and thanks for yours, Aisling. Shoulder pout.
So, Captain Lee, what did you think about Elizabeth? Was Francesca right? Well, as you would read in my book, had I written a chapter about this, but I didn't, but you should still read the book. I think Francesca was right about her. I mean, just too many issues actually happened. I mean, we didn't even show the electrical fire that Elizabeth started. I don't even know how she did that. She was just holding a glass of milk. But somehow,
our sofa caught on fire. I don't know how she did it. She's crazy. Anyway, I think, look, you know what? You excel at what you really like to do. For instance, I love reading my book.
So on a couch.
On a couch. And I'm not sure she enjoys being a yachty.
Oh, and Elizabeth's like, thank you so much, Captain Lee, for your answer. Pout. And she's like tilting her head all the way to the side now. She's like, I have so much respect for you. And I feel like some of your opinions are biased. I mean, you didn't really get a chance to know me as a hard worker. Because you weren't a hard worker.
Because if you want him to see you as a hard worker, work hard.
Introduce yourself as a hard worker.
Like, literally, like, he was on that boat. Like, he may not have been in the galley, but he's on that boat. You can pick up things, you know? So Andy's like, well, why aren't you willing to hear that from Francesca? And she's like, well, it comes from a different place. Captain Lee is a leader, and Francesca has a crazy accent. Look, she sounds like an alien.
And Ashling's like, you're just upset because we called you out. I mean, is that why you've pivoted your camera to make it look like there's a noose behind you? Did you notice that Elizabeth has like a huge curtain pull? Like, she's staying in some hotel that thinks it's fancy, and it's like got this huge curtain pull that's plastic and looks like a giant noose.
I noticed it as well. It's like a giant, I think that was her ring camera. She's like, I got a ring camera. It's like, no, that's just a handle for the blinds, Elizabeth. So Francesca's like, you know, people reach for gratification from the captain all the time, but they don't reach for gratification from me. I don't know what it is. So Andy's like, oh, let's hear from Elizabeth. Everyone's talking over her. So then she says, I think this is kind of a trend. You know, a team is only as strong as its weakest link, and you made me feel weak in every situation, and you didn't make me feel supported or uplifted. It's like, because you were the weakest link. That's why you were fired.
Goodbye. Okay, goodbye. That's how it goes. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. Okay?
And I'm not saying it's your job to worry about my feelings, but what would be wrong with worrying about my feelings? Why can't we balance feelings and work?
Because this is what it leads to. It leads to you suddenly thinking you have an argument here because of your fucking feelings. It's not about your fucking feelings, okay? Oh my God, lady.
Why don't you uplift Francesca's feelings by doing your job? So,
hey, Lee, why did you decide that this was the right time to fire her? And he's like, well, it was a tough one, you know? I understand that Elizabeth thought she was doing a great job, and in actuality, it wasn't a fact. And sometimes the cold hard facts are a slap in the face, and going into the guest cabin is the last slap in the face. And I'll tell you what's not a slap in the face. My book. It's actually as refreshing as cucumbers on the eyelids. I recommend everyone read it.
So then we get clips of the birthday cake and Rachel saying, we don't need knives. We've already got one in somebody's back or something. And Andy's like, well, you know, how did you feel about Rachel sticking up for you in that scene about the cake?
And Elizabeth's like, yeah, that was hard to watch, Andy. I wanted to call Rachel right away and say thank you for that.
But you didn't.
Yeah.
I take it. That's what I got from this sentence, you know? So
it looked really delicious, but also kind of creepy. Because what are the odds that the restaurant would accidentally send a cake to someone named Elizabeth to that table also? Like, I can't believe the odds of that happening. It's like, because there was, okay, Elizabeth.
So then Rachel...
It looked malicious and it looked creepy, Andy. That's what it looked like to me. Malicious and creepy.
She said malicious? I thought she said delicious and creepy.
No, she said they were being malicious and creepy.
It's a creepy cake. It was creepy.
I'm like, why doesn't anyone just say they were laughing because it was such an awkward thing to happen and we were laughing at the awkwardness? Like, I don't know why no one just said that, because it was obvious why they were all laughing. So Rachel is... she's just saying she thought it was just like fucked up, etc. And Andy's asking, did Francesca make the right decision by firing her? And Rachel's like, well, I understand why Francesca got to the point that she did. And we only had 2 Cooter charters left to go, and Titty's watching the show, and I didn't have any idea of like how bad it was down there. I didn't really realize how terrible Elizabeth was. And now I do, and I take it all back.
And she says, well, there was only 2 weeks left, so they should have just stuck it out for 2 weeks, basically. And Francesca's like, oh, I was exhausted. I mean, if someone's not pulling their weight, you know, that leaves it to me to carry so much more.
But then why didn't you just take a break and trust me?
She's like, I couldn't trust you. That's the point.
Elizabeth, have you ever read Dragonona? This is what happens. Nona goes out of town. Dragonona goes out of town. Little boy goes in and causes spaghetti to take over the town. Okay, this is why. This is because you are the little boy creating unlimited pasta for the. Cause
yeah,
you think
but all
idea.
You had to do is trust me. She's like, but I couldn't trust you. She goes,
well, I'm sad that you didn't give me that chance.
Oh my God. It's not fucking. Jesus, you've got to have two pieces of wood in that hotel room to nail together to climb up on. You fucking victim.
What part of the promotion to second stew and stripes is not like trusting you and giving you a chance? That's what I would like
Jeez.
To know. So, Francesca's
Andy's like, well, oh, yeah. Francesca's like, oh, I did give you a chance, though. And you know what? The cake thing. Look, I agree with that. My reaction to it, I didn't really have a close reaction to a close relationship with Liz. So, you know, it didn't even register in my mind that it was your birthday. Really? Okay. Well, that's bullshit, too, yeah. Because the girl walked around for 10 days going,
it's 10 days to my birthday. Oh, my God. It's almost my birthday in 9 days.
And Elizabeth is like,
well, I accept the apology because if someone's genuine, I'm all about it.
And Francesca is like, well, you know what? Your thing is ruthless. And if you can't hack it, you can't hack it. It is what it is. It's not personal. Okay. All right. Stop crying, Elizabeth. Okay. Nope. No. All right. She just knocked over her laptop. Should we wait for her to get back on?
I'd like to say that forgiveness is the highest form of love. Also, new teeth. New teeth, who dis?
So Andy's like, well, okay, Francesca. Francesca, can you say one good thing about Elizabeth? Well, I mean, listen, she might not follow directions, but she does follow a laser pointer, all right?
You don't know how entertaining it is to watch her run back and forth in the career mess all evening long.
One time I got her to jump into the hot tub, and you should have seen her trying to find it in there. Just hilarious, Andy.
Oh, there's nothing quite like it when she puts her little hands right on top of the laser pointer and she thinks she got it, and then she opens up her hands and it's not even there anymore, and she has to say, where did that little red animal go? And then she looks up and it's on the wall. Oh, it's hilarious every time.
Well, that wasn't very nice. So, Liz, can you say anything you enjoyed about Francesca? It's like,
yeah, I can say a bunch of things. I mean, look, I look for the positive in people. I'm a good person. There were sides of you that were vulnerable and exhausted, like when you had that breakdown. And I could connect with you because you were giving me that openness.
You were causing the breakdown. She's like, I like when you were so exhausted that you almost cried. But you were the one making her so exhausted she almost cried.
You poisoned her with mustard gas. That's why she was exhausted. And Captain Lee just starts laughing. And he's like, as far as I can tell, I haven't heard Elizabeth say one good thing about Francesca. And Elizabeth does that thing that like, what? She does that face like, what?
Please, give me another chance. You just didn't give me a chance to say something nice about her. I can show you. I can say something nice. I swear I can show it to you. You just didn't see it. Give me a chance. Lift me
up. I just talked about your vulnerable fun side. Isn't that positive?
And Andy's like, well, former Stew Josiah was waiting in the wings to replace Elizabeth, but then Corona derailed it. He was literally at the airport. Then they told him Corona happened. And he actually made Corona feel terrible about itself with one withering glance. So congrats to Josiah for still having it working.
Apparently, coronavirus used to make fun of Josiah when he was in high school, and he hasn't been able to wear a tank top ever since. So, Captain Lee, why did you talk about this, Stu, that never actually was on the show? Well, he's extremely capable. He knows what needs to be done. His anticipation of guest needs is remarkable, and he knows how to not make mustard gas. Wow, that could have been a great season. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
It's over. He's like, you know, and here's one fun fact. I call him Psy. Which is really fun. I thought that's funny that that's Captain's nickname for him.
Sia.
Josiah is Sai.
Sai.
Which Sai. Is perfect for Josiah. Because he's just like one long sigh. Like, you know, like,
well, that was probably him at the airport. Well, I guess I'm going back home. Master Pearson, we'll have to wait till next season.
I'm bleeding.
Was that Elizabeth or Master Pearson? I'm very concerned now.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. Hope you all saw that commercial for bacterial vaginosis. You know, we'll be back next season, I guess, for whatever show this stupid thing is. Okay. Bye, person with the eyebrows. Love your butt.
And that's the end of Below Deck. Next week starts Below Deck Sailing Yacht, which looks very, very exciting. And tomorrow we got the Real Housewives of Dallas. We got a whole week, a lot of stuff. We still have Salt Lake City doing its final episode of the reunion, so a lot to check out. So stay tuned. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. If you're not subscribed, you're missing out on the ease and comfort of having a podcast just arrive to you, go to you rather than you go to it. So go subscribe wherever, like Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever works for you, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's Run Some Errands with Emily Ahrens.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony. Junie, she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Patricia Murdoch, she wrote.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler. Let's give them a kiss, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthew sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.